Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will sing to the Lord all of our lives. We will sing praises to our God as long as we live. And all God's children say,
Amen.
And maybe all God's children could say that a little more enthusiasm.
Amen.
Thank you. And what a beautiful day the Lord has made. Welcome to University Mennonite Church. Members, visitors, those with us in spirit this morning. And Hannah Rachel Bailey, who came to us this week as a blessing. We wish, it almost feels like we should have a Rosa on the piano. Maybe someday soon. That is Ben and Meredith's niece, correct? Born last Sunday after induction. As occasionally happens in May, this weekend we see the eclipse of the liturgical holiday of Pentecost and the national holiday of Memorial Day. Rather than be overtaken by the Holy Spirit in order to memorialize our war dead, we will instead memorialize the post-ascension miracle that overwhelmed the apostles and the early followers of Jesus, as according to Acts, it appeared to them as in cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Pentecost is sometimes described by Christians as the birthday of the church. In sharp contrast to that birthday of the church is Memorial Day, originally dubbed Decoration Day by the Grand Army of the Republic in 1868, Grand Army of the Republic, to honor the soldiers who died in the Civil War. By the early 1900s, memorial traditions of the Confederates had merged with the Federals' holiday in order to remember all soldiers who died in the tragic conflict, responsible for more American lives, soldiers, than any other. As we light the peace lamp and pray for peace, let us do so in currently, Memorial Day is recognized also as when we honor the all fallen soldiers of all wars, and it's also known as the day after which all learning ceases in any public institution. So as we light the peace lamp this morning, we pray for peace. Let us do so in remembrance of the U.S. men and women who have paid that highest price while serving our country. Let us pray. Lord God, Prince of Peace, surrounded by conflict, we pray for peace. Not war to end war and bring peace. We pray for peace to end war. Peace on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for peace as we mourn fallen soldiers, 750,000 in the Civil War, 120,000 in the first war to end all wars, and nearly 400,000 in the second, close to 60,000 in Vietnam and nearly 7,000 in Iraq and Afghanistan. We pray that these tragedies teach us love, forgiveness, acceptance, and faith, the pillars of peace on earth. As we focus back on Pentecost, this amazing event where God prophesies his plan for the Christian church, including the promise that it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please turn to the back of your bulletin for the responsive reading titled Gathering. Note that this praise-filled reading is formatted in cheerleader style, left and right. That would be your left and your right. And that the stanzas for the left are in bold, but that does not mean that the words spoken by those sitting on the right are of any less emphasis. Okay, please stand if you're able. Remain standing after the reading while Mark King leads us in the opening hymns. O Lord, how diverse and magnificent are your works. In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Even the bright seas are full of your creatures.
By your Spirit they are created, nurtured, and died.
Lord, rejoice in your works. May they reflect your glory forever. Let us sing to the Lord all our lives. Let us sing praise to our God while we have breath. Let our words and our thoughts, our songs and our prayers, the Lord. Therefore, let us rejoice in the Lord.
All together now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Please stay standing for the opening hymns.
In hymnal and worship book, let's turn to number 41. Come Thou Almighty King. Number 41.
Father of glorious, Lord of
We just read the line, "Lead thy lambs, we humbly pray, in and out, day after day." So we're going to ask the lambs to come forward for the children's time. And with the remarkable display from the visuals committee, this could be the most exciting children's time we've ever had. We have marshmallows. We have some blankets and fire extinguishers. So if Bethany would come up and the kids would come up.
Children, what do you think about all these little flames up here? They're beautiful, aren't they? Do you know why we have all these little fires up here? No? Today is a very special day at church. It's sort of like Easter and Christmas and other special days that we celebrate, but it's not quite as famous as Easter and Christmas. It is called Pentecost. Pentecost is today. And if you know what a pentagon is, it has five sides. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. And I'm going to tell you the story about Pentecost, and then we're going to do a little reenactment in church, and I'm going to need some audience participation. All right? So what happened on Pentecost Day is that the disciples were gathered in a room, and they were praying together. 50 days ago, Jesus had died, and then he rose again, and everyone was excited. And then Jesus showed up sometimes, and sometimes they didn't know where he was. And then they saw him go up in the clouds, and they knew that he was gone back to be with God in heaven. But they weren't quite sure what they were supposed to do next. So they were praying and asking God for wisdom. And all of a sudden, wind started blowing through their room. It was a closed room, and wind started blowing. And then little flames of fire showed up on top of everybody's heads. And then they all started speaking in different languages, languages that they didn't know. And then they went outside, and they started telling all different people about Jesus in their own languages. So it was just full of chatter, 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 all different languages. The streets were full of people talking about Jesus. That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? That's Pentecost. Let's try and see if we can feel a little bit of that excitement in our church. So, we're all together praying. We're all gathered together here to worship. Let's hear some sounds of wind. Sounds of wind. All of a sudden, there's little fires everywhere. Look at the fire. And now, I'd like to hear some different languages. So if you know how to say hello in any language, just shout it out. Say hello. Lovely. That was beautiful. Now, if you can imagine all of that going on for a long time and people talking in many different languages, that's a little bit what it might have been like. Now, in children's time for the past couple weeks, we've been learning about children from around the world, and we've been learning about how they say hello. So today, the child that we're learning about is named Vanessa Ricardo. She's from Mozambique, and she says bom dia when she says hello. Bom dia. So I'm going to give you these papers to take home. There's a game that she plays that you can try to play at home called Chea. I'll give you those to take home. And we'll also collect our coins today to share with children around the world. But before we do that, Evelyn is going to lead us in a song called My Coins Count. And I think in the past we've had it come down. Yes, there it goes. Amazing.
Before you go, can you all say, my coins count? My coins. Can everybody say, my coins count? Yeah. Let's sing, my coins count. My coins count. My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. If we look around us, there are people that we see all around the world. Nothing food and water and a chance to live in peace. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count. My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. Doesn't matter if they're big or small, when used with care, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count. My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. When we work together, there's a lot we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count. My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. My coins count. My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world.
Thank you for collecting these coins and sharing these coins. We're going to have a prayer before we go back to our seats, okay? Thank you, God, for these children. Thank you for the sharing that our congregation does with people and children all around the world. I pray that you'll bless Vanessa Ricardo and her family. And thank you for the story of Pentecost and help us to live by your Spirit this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
That was still fairly exciting, even though without an element of danger, it's not an adventure. Yeah, even without marshmallows. Noah and Nathan Davis will be collecting our offering this morning. They will also be evaluating you on form and accuracy as you pass and fill the baskets. Couldn't resist. I've asked them not to stoop, so aim carefully. Let's pray. Without reserve, without concern, without judgment, we give. With love, with compassion, with pleasure you receive. Receive our gifts with our blessings, Lord, as we count the gifts of your blessings. Amen. This morning's scriptures will be read by Kathy Shannon, who will read from Psalm 104, including the beautiful words, "I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." Then Eric Smith will read the account of the first Pentecost from Acts 2, including that great line about cloven tongues like as on fire mentioned earlier, which will frame today's message from Pastor Ben, which he will bring us after we sing the hymn, "O Holy Spirit, Making Whole."
I'll be reading from Psalms 104th Psalm, verses 24 through 34. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, which teems with things innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which thou didst form to sport in it. These all look to thee to give them their food in due season. When thou givest to them, they gather it up. When thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good things. When thou hidest thy face, they are dismayed. What thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
I'll be reading Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. At this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each of them heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking them said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Let's turn to number 300 and continue on. I think it's important to note that this new text, which is wed here to an older tune, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with, the new text was written in 1939, and right before the Second World War, and it seems pertinent to me that some of the words in the text might be referring to that, especially verses 2 and 3. So while Becky plays through it one time, let's get acquainted with this text.
Well, good morning, church family. Summers of my high school and college years were spent in the fields following the sweet corn harvest from the deep south and working north to my home community in southern Ontario. My friends and I were migrant workers of sorts. Benefiting from our place of privilege and the color of our skin, we rarely ever, never got harassed by immigration officials, though the legality of what we were doing was questionable. The company we worked for in Canada would have farmers in the United States grow fields of sweet corn, and then they'd send us good Mennonite boys down to pick it, load it, and send it back to the Canadian market. And for the most part, this job was just as romantic as it sounds. We were away from our families, tasting freedom of life on the road for the first time as teenage boys. We worked long, hot days in the humid Georgian summers, but in exchange, we received a free source of travel, lodging, food, and plenty of cash when our paychecks came in. Our free time included finding the cheapest golf courses that the South had to offer, figuring out how to get to the closest sleepy beach town, and the strenuous job meant that we could really cash in at places like a Chinese buffet or local barbecue joint or taco shop. We could eat a ton of food. Now, of course, this life did include a few hurdles for us young Canadian boys. We were away from our families and some of our friends for long stretches of time. We had to learn to do our own laundry for the first time for many of us, and had to figure out how to live in crowded hotel rooms without the benefits of our parents taking care of us. And maybe most importantly for us, as we were trying to navigate this new space, was trying to figure out how to communicate with that thick Georgian southern drawl. I remember one farmer in particular with this thick, muddled accent that we could barely understand. It took us several minutes one morning just to realize that he was asking us where we were from and what our names were. It often took two or three of us. We would often make sure that we were never alone so that we could communicate with the people around us. Even though we spoke the same language, there was a barrier present there. Even then, sometimes the message was lost in translation. And it wasn't just the pace of speech or the ways that we pronounced words. Sometimes the barrier was that the words we were using meant different things to us. Take the word Yankee, for instance. Not sure how many times you've ever considered this wonderful word. For a farmer born and raised in rural southern Georgia, anyone north of the Mason-Dixon line is a Yankee. So Canadian farmers are, of course, Yankees, right? For us as Canadians, anyone born south of the Canada-United States border was a Yankee. So we thought this southern Georgian farmer was also a Yankee. So we both are? None of us are? Just realizing the power of words like that in our own unique context is transformative and powerful. I like to think about the power of language and how we communicate when Pentecost Sunday rolls around. It's this time of year when churches around the world reflect on the Holy Spirit entering, exploding, arriving, changing the way that people communicate. It's this moment, just as we heard in our scripture passage this morning, that takes place after Jesus has ascended to heaven. His followers are sitting around wondering what on earth they are going to do now. They are terrified. They fear the unknown. They fear how they are going to carry on this powerful ministry that has been begun. These followers of Christ could be categorized as those who were closest to Christ, yet they're apparently struggling on how they're ever going to reach out to the world. These are mostly simple people from rural Galilee. These are people from the fringes of the world, I think. Followers, not leaders. These are people with whom society expects very little. The arrival of the Spirit of God changes all of that in an instant. Acts 2 explains that the Spirit enters like the sound of a violent rushing wind. It fills up those who are gathered so that unexpected things begin happening. Our text says that when the Spirit moves, the disciples and the followers of Jesus begin to share and prophesy in languages of all who are gathered. People who had traveled from regions far and near. The Spirit of God broke down the traditional methods of communication. And we need to note here, this is significant, not just for the people in this time, but for the history that follows. This is a moment in time where God's mission shifts dramatically from a cultural and ethical people group to everyone. We move from basically just the Israelites, from the people of God, this tiny cluster of human beings, to really anyone in the human world. And this moment is so impossible to leave, and so countercultural, so ridiculous, that it is, of course, blamed on what? It's blamed on alcohol consumption. People of State College, we should understand the ridiculousness of what was going on there. What does this mean? They must be filled with new wine, the people cry out. But it's not the intoxication of drink. Something much more powerful, something much more sustainable. This is what happens when tongues of fire illuminate the people of God. As we reflect on the Spirit of God moving in our world, I wonder what images come to mind for this congregation. What makes outsiders stand up and take notice to us today? What are our tongues of fire burning brightly? It's much easier for us, I think, to point to the ways that we struggle to communicate, both within our congregation as well as when we attempt to communicate beyond our walls here. Throughout the past year, as our congregation has moved through a time of discernment, we discovered that it wasn't always easy to communicate, even amongst ourselves. Maybe we blame language or culture or theology, family systems, politics, deep-set personal opinions, all barriers for connecting on a meaningful level. We may carry a belief that no one thinks how we think. We might feel as if no one would ever listen to our concerns, or that if we opened ourselves up, we could really seriously get hurt. If it's this difficult to interact just with each other, how do we ever move beyond University Mennonite Church out into the world? For starters, I think it takes a willingness just to try, and I think that we have that here in our congregation. I sense there's a deep willingness here at UMC to continue difficult conversations, maybe even to start new ones. We have some really incredible initiatives already taking place here in our church that help us reach out to the local community and beyond. They help us to begin to develop deeper relationships with people who are different than us, who speak different languages, who communicate in different ways. More importantly, we have these to create meaningful conversations that allow the Spirit to move in and communicate through us. Just last week, those of us who were here on Sunday morning were challenged by Pastor Marv to reflect on Jesus' prayer to the disciples from John 17. In this prayer, Jesus emphasizes unity and purpose, and that his disciples would be one in spirit and focus, that they would recognize their common purpose to care for the world that God loves so much. I wonder what the ways are that the Spirit is already moving here. Maybe those times of conversation that Marv is calling us to will help shape that. What are the gifts that we've been blessed with? A few years ago, I was able to attend a workshop led by author and consultant Peter Block. Some of you might be familiar with his work. He encouraged those of us who were present to reflect on how to create deeper community through focusing on who you are and what you love, not by focusing on the things that you struggle with or fail at. And I admit it's not always easy for people like us to do that. We are hardworking people. We try to be humble people, don't we? We don't like to talk about what we're proud of or what we're good at. We like to talk about what we need to fix, what needs to be repaired. In some ways, we are like this community of Jesus followers, aren't we? We're trying to figure out how to move forward. They probably didn't represent the most powerful or wealthy of their era either. They certainly weren't powerful political leaders. simply a group of like-minded folks gathering together, trying to make sense of this Jesus figure that they were following. I think that sounds like University Mennonite Church. The Spirit moved through that group. As a result, the people were able to communicate and connect in ways beyond their imaginations. John Roth is a history professor at Goshen College. Some of you might be familiar with his writing or his work, or maybe you know him personally. And he has an incredible story in the introduction to one of his books about the power of communication. He recounts a late-night train ride when he was over in Germany for a seminar. In the empty train car that night, he noticed an older man sitting by himself, looking tired and dirty. It appeared that he might be homeless. It didn't seem like he was all there mentally. At one of the stops, a group of teenagers boarded the train and noticed the old man. They began teasing and taunting him. One of them picked up a half-empty beer bottle nearby, shook it up, and started spraying the old man with it. Their taunts rose, and finally they began to punch and kick him. And John was stunned. He couldn't believe what he was witnessing. The car was empty, aside from this group of people, and he didn't know how to respond. He'd been raised as a good Mennonite pacifist, believing that violence was never the answer. Yet here was a person in need of physical safety and protection, someone very vulnerable. Now, John also knew that he was not capable of intervening because he was so badly outnumbered. He had no training in self-defense, had never had to defend himself using physical action. But he also knew that he couldn't sit back and do nothing. So he took a deep breath. He said a little prayer, and he stood up. He walked over to the homeless man, shouting, "Hans, my old friend, it's been so long. Please come over. Come over. Sit with me. We have a lot to catch up on." And while the teens looked on with surprise, John wrapped the man in an embrace and pulled him over to his corner of the car. At the next stop, the bewildered teens got off and left the train. John wasn't sure how that all came to be. He could only say that there was something in the way the Spirit moved in him in that moment. He was faced with the choice between fight or flight, and something else emerged, more powerful than either of those. I think stories like these are why we continue to believe that there is importance in following this Jesus character. It's why we believe that there are third-way solutions out there that are transformative and build different kinds of wonderful movements. I know that the Spirit is alive and moves here. And when I think about the ways that we communicate and the tools that we have at hand, I think it's reason to celebrate this morning. So maybe we could take some time. I'm wondering if you're game for that. What are the ways that we use to communicate with the people around us? What tools do we have to begin conversations or to go deeper, both here at UMC and beyond in the world at large? What are the creative languages that are present here? It would be foolish to say that the Spirit's not moving or not alive. So I'd like us to count. Think about it. You can pull out a pencil and paper if you've got one, maybe your phone if you want to make a note on there, or you can just make a mental note or count on your fingers. So let's think about spoken languages first. You're all sitting in attention this morning. It's wonderful. So you all speak English. That's number one for all of you. How many regional dialects can you understand? Were you born in the South, maybe? Can you speak Canadian? I wonder if you understand people from Boston or New York. Add that to your list. What about Cajun? Can you understand that kind of crazy Creole mixture? What about Ebonics or Spanglish? Can you get into those sorts of things? Maybe some of you, English wasn't your first language, so add those to your list as well. Maybe Spanish, German, French. Maybe you're learning one of those languages in school right now. Have you ever lived abroad or in a different culture? Were you able to pick up a few words there? Add that to your list. What about Pennsylvania Dutch? Is that the mother tongue for anyone here? What if you spent time in school? Did you have to take languages for a class like Latin or Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic? Add that to your list. What about sign language? Any of you speak Morse code? Add that to your list. What about some crazy language that you made up with your best friend or your sibling? Add that to your list. And what if we step beyond formal languages to the languages that we use in our work and our play? Think about the ways that we communicate in verbal and nonverbal methods. Do any of you understand mathematics? Add that to your list. What about science? We have a statistician, at least one of them here. Add that to your list. What if you can talk through healthcare industry jargon? That is a language. Add that to your list. What if you can speak Penn State football? Add that to your list. If you're a historian, if you know how to tell a really vivid story, if you're a computer programmer or a graphic designer, if you can speak in Photoshop and C++, Excel, spreadsheet, add those to your list. You see where I'm going here? My campus pastor coworkers, there's 60 plus faith groups on campus. Lots of them speak languages I don't understand. I cannot speak evangelical Christian. I cannot speak Orthodox Christian either. I don't come from a tradition that has creeds or codes or strict dogma in the same way that some of my sisters and brothers do on campus. What about the languages that we might be a little embarrassed to admit that we know? Do any of you speak Klingon? Do any of you speak Hollywood tabloid language or reality TV language? Add that to your list. I'm a statistical junkie for baseball, so if any of you want to talk about whip or on-base percentage or fielding UZR or weighted warp or any of those wonderful things, I can talk with you about that. Some of you are bird watchers, I think. I bet Rodney could pick out a bird from its call or from its silhouette. Add that to your list. All right. Do we have a number in our heads? I want everyone to stand up if you can. So because you stood up, those of you who are able, that means you at least speak one language. So congratulations. Remain standing if you had two of those things in your head rolling around. At least two. Remain standing if you had at least three. What about four? Five? Six? All right. We're starting to get to the cream of the crop here. Seven? Eight? Nine. Let's give a round of applause for these people on the border of 10 here. So we are blessed, it seems, with many different tools of communication here in this congregation. We are not weak when it comes to the many ways to communicate. The Spirit is moving. The Scripture says tongues of fire. I think one that I didn't even mention here but is appropriate Memorial Weekend is a language of peace. I think our congregation has a unique language of peace to offer the world. We have this in our midst. We should never feel as if we are the people that lack basic tools to connect with people, both here in our congregation and beyond. Jesus' followers were at a loss about how to communicate with the world, yet they became Spirit-filled beings capable of reaching out beyond their cultures and their communities. Likewise, those of us who call University Mennonite Church home are blessed here. The Spirit is already moving. Tongues of fire are in our midst. We possess incredible resources to help us move in our community and beyond. I believe if we continue to invite the Spirit of the living God to move through us, to move in us, incredible things will take shape. One of the ways that we can do that is to continue to be creative about our direction and our purpose. We can hear and name where the Spirit is moving in our congregation. We can navigate our many voices and find a path that brings us closer to the kingdom unfolding around us. We named our campus ministry here at University Mennonite Church Third Way Collective for a bunch of different reasons. But one that I've been focusing on lately is the idea that we are called to find third-way solutions when we are presented with any problem. As we face the challenges of communication as a campus ministry and as a congregation, our instincts tell us that we have two options. If we know and understand the language being used, we can connect. If not, we can retreat. But I wonder if allowing the Spirit to work presents us with an alternative, a third-way option that's even more powerful, that's meant to build on learning that we already have, to figure out alternatives and figure out ways to learn to communicate when we find ourselves with barriers. Maybe even if that takes serious time. I think the Spirit is moving here at University Mennonite Church. Tongues of fire are dancing all around us. Welcome to this ongoing conversation, wherever it may take us. May we go from this place this morning sharing that Spirit with the world that we meet. Holy Spirit, come with power. Amen.
As we get to them, especially stanzas 3 and 4. So, okay, Becky.
Let's begin and end our sharing and prayer time today with a shared voice. Prefacing with the beautiful short prayer on the back of your bulletin, which I believe is credited to Mike Bogart of Newton, Kansas. After sharing time, we'll again unite our voices with the Lord's Prayer. So the prayer's on the back of our bulletin. Let's pray. God of life and power, there are times when we feel like old dry bones. Life wears us out. Exhaustion overwhelms us, and hope seems lost. Breathe your spirit into us. Strengthen our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Make us alive so that we may be your people. We know that you, the Lord, have spoken, and you will act, and we shall live. Amen.
Hello, my name is Colleen. That was a fun activity, Ben. I'm like, whoa, I speak a lot of stuff, not Klingon. So I, unfortunately, am speaking of the language of grief today, so I might not be able to not cry. But my dear friend Danielle has been struggling the last few weeks because she found out, actually the week before finals, that her stepdad has brain tumors, and so it's been kind of a roller coaster ride for her and her mom and her stepdad. And it's not looking very good. She's going to be able to go out to Vegas to be with them in the next week. But it's Danielle's not, her mom and she aren't religious or whatever, so I'll say, I'll pray for you, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. So I guess I would like to have Alan and her and Danielle and her family in our prayers as they explore whether or not treatment is even a possibility. Thanks.
I'm Fran Osela, sorry, and I was really touched by the stories that you told, especially about trying to find a third way. And I was moved by the Spirit, I think, that there's a prayer request in here by Bruce Yoder and his wife Nancy that are working with Mennonite Mission Network in West Africa. And they're in Burkina Faso. I've met him several times because he comes to Ghana to the seminary as well. And here it says they request prayer for the church members in, CD City, where village leaders withhold land to punish Christians. It's really another language, another culture, and another world for us. But what's happening in Burkina Faso is that a number of people became Christians who were, well, everybody's a farmer in this rural village area. Everyone farms. And the number of the people who became Christians were not originally from that area, but moved into that area and agreed when they came to abide by the rules of the village, which include sacrificing every year for the land, you know, before you plant and all that. And after they became Christians, they felt like that probably wasn't a good thing to do, to be sacrificing to idols, and they don't want to do it. And the village elders have threatened to just kick them off the land if they won't do it. They have no other way to make a living if they don't do that. And they're asking the Mennonite Church, what do we do? And the Mennonite Church in Burkina Faso is fairly weak. They don't have resources, and they know that if these people stop sacrificing to the idols so that they can have the land, they will have to take care of them, and the Mennonite Church cannot take care of them, and they have no other options. And so this request for prayer is really a very, very serious thing with a lot of people's lives on the line, and we really, I don't know what the third way is there, but let's really not just pray a kind of token prayer, but a genuine heartfelt prayer for these people whose lives are in turmoil because they've decided to follow this Jesus.
I'm Rogers McLean. I don't know that this is necessarily a prayer request, but I thought this is a good time to share. I'd encourage everybody, if they can, if you get the CDT, you can also go online, but I was particularly impressed by Chris Rosenblum's article that begins at the bottom of the first page. And it relates to this being Memorial Day, and it starts off with, you know, all these Republican presidential candidates are being asked whether they agree that it was proper to go into Iraq, to invade Iraq. And it's a political dilemma, and how do you answer that, because of you don't want to disregard the sacrifice of people who have died in that that war. But then he goes on to talk about wars in general, and once he starts off with the statement, they're always wrong. And then there's a good explanation for that. But I just thought it was really particularly excellent in a Memorial Day for us to contemplate about how we deal with people who have lost their lives because they've fought in those wars, but also to take a look at wars are always a failure of people.
My name is Eric Smith. I have a praise, and that is I looked in my one beehive yesterday, and I have a queen in there. And I want to just give a little bit of background on this. Without a queen, a hive cannot live. So I have two hives, and one is just fine, and the other one did not have a queen, and I had to reintroduce a queen. And that seems to have worked, because there's capped brood. That means there are baby bees soon to be born. And my history is that if anything can go wrong with beekeeping, it does go wrong with me. And that means bees swarming at incredibly stupid times, and bears knocking over my hives and things like that. And little mites killing my bees. So I pray that, first of all, I have this praise, which is really heart uplifting for me. And secondly, I would like to learn how to keep my bees alive from year to year. That would be a great blessing for me.
My name is Eric Souter. It's been a little while since Ruth and I have been here with all of you. We've been in Lancaster quite a bit. Her grandfather passed away two weeks ago or so. So we'd appreciate prayers for her mother and sisters and grandmother. He passed peacefully, and it was really great to be there with the whole family. But thanks for your prayers.
I'm Carolyn Brubaker. I'm going to ask you to remember Jim Rosenberger this coming Friday. He has to have surgery. Apparently, he didn't quite obey, so the bone has shifted, and he will have to have a plate put on it.
Yeah, I have a joy. The Charles family isn't here this morning, and Faith graciously offered to adopt our Luke, since it says in the bulletin that Luke Smooker is graduating from high school. But I do want to give Luke Charles some credit.
I'm Esther Prinz. A week from today, I will be en route to Cuba for a week. I'm one of about 10 Penn State faculty who are going there to try to get teaching and research projects set up. So I am really looking forward to it.
I have an item as well. Colleen standing up reminded me of something very powerful in our community that's currently taking place. I don't know how many of you are following this proposed development in Ferguson Township that is situated on one of our key drinking water filters. Colleen and two friends have been able to secure write-in votes enough to be running for Ferguson Township seats as a way to use the language of our local community to try and stand up for something they believe in very strongly. And that gave me great joy this week when I read that.
Joel Widener. Last week we dropped Daphne off at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland for a 6-week internship, and she emailed, she communicated to us yesterday that she was involved in the protest in Cleveland where there was a verdict for white police that killed 2 black people quite a while back, but the verdict was finally released yesterday and they were found not guilty. And there was protests that were, I guess, basically peaceful in Cleveland. And so, again, we pray for that situation there.
Which daughter, Joel?
Daphne.
Daphne, okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, we gather here bringing you our praise, bringing you our joyful noise, knowing that you're with us, knowing that you hear our prayers. So many things to pray about, and we bring you so many of them, knowing also that so many others remain in our hearts and can be brought before you at any time, anywhere, anytime. We pray for this family, the Danielle's family that Colleen brings up, as they struggle both with frailties of later life and of an absence of faith, and we hope that our prayers help to ease their pain, to bring them some comfort, and to bring them some understanding that there is another way, that there is other things that they can rely on and use. We bring before you the concerns of the Yoders in West Africa as they struggle with old ways and traditions and customs, and as they bring in their new ways and beliefs and religions, and we ask that somehow you show them that third way that will resolve these differences, that they can live as neighbors and be productive together and cumulatively. On this Memorial Day, we pause to look at politics, not as religion and politics, but just as knowing the power that we can bring through prayer and through counsel, through meditation. We ask that the national level, that our politics not be a politics of divisiveness, but a politics of unity. And at the local level, we're so grateful to be able to be involved and to be another voice in that discussion, and hopefully to bring that third way, again, Lord, that way of peace. As we also rejoice in the spring and the beauty of our nature, Lord, we praise the queen. We praise the queen bee in Eric's hive. That it's a sign of the beauty of nature and of your divine will. And we rejoice in the knowing that things go well as often as not, and ask your blessing on all of that. Lord, be with Jim Rosenberger as he goes in for surgery this weekend. Let's look forward to greeting him here again next week or soon after with a new plate in his foot and maybe a little bit of humility in his mind as well. We bless the graduation this season of our own graduates, of Luke and Abby, as well as the Penn State grads and all the ones around. We know that this is a celebratory time, can also be a dangerous time, and we ask that the celebrations be genuine, that the feelings be heartfelt, and that your peace, blessing, and safety guide over all of it. As well, we ask for peace and travel as we all travel around, as Esther goes to Cuba. Let that contingent make a difference, Lord, and let your presence and spirit be there with them as they travel and make that difference. Lord, we also ask for travel mercies and for peace and your influence to be present through Daphne as she's working in Cleveland, as she's dealing with difficult situations and hopefully bringing a voice of reason that's been taught to her from your teachings and from our church and from her parents. Lord, we again bring our voices together all as one as we pray your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
University Mennonite Church, the Spirit is moving here in this place. May we go sharing the Spirit with the world that we meet. Go in peace.
Turn toward the middle aisle and sing it to those around us.
The Lord lift you up.